Welcome to Sports and a Slice of Life. And now, here's your host, Dave Lewis.
I'd heard that Ja Rule had a chance to meet soccer star Preston Kilwan at one time. Something like that. Either you met him or he met you, but it was something like you had a chance to meet Ja Rule one time. Where was that?
My girlfriend, myself, and I went, and two friends went to the Miami Heat game. It was like 2 or 3 years ago. And it just looked to our right, and then Ja Rule was just sitting there with a couple of his buddies.
Were you a fan growing up?
I listened to his music. Wasn't a massive fan, but, you know, just I'm a big hip-hop fan, so I think it was just cool in general.
No, that's not my to-do list. I had a chance when I was a DJ to meet Tupac and Biggie Smalls.
That's sweet. Yeah, see, that's sick.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's pretty cool. So, you know, he had a chance to cross paths with the greatness as well. Preston Kilwan playing for the Charleston Battery, and you made that signing on New Year's Eve. So I know a lot of folks are getting ready to, you know, watch Ryan Seacrest and get their partying, their food done for the night. You're signing with a new team. So, you know, how did that go down?
You know, it was actually not as long of a process as it feels like, but, you know, just sitting there waiting for your next contract, your next team, it feels like an eternity. Because you want to get it done. You want to, you know, be a little bit impatient. But I think you just had to be patient. I just had to rely on my agent to really do. I had to, like, trust that he was doing what he had to do on my behalf and everything. I actually signed the contract on Christmas Eve. And then it got announced on New Year's Eve. So I had to, like, keep that quiet for about a week or so. But it was...
So you weren't sweating it out. Then you knew you were where you were going.
Yeah. So by New Year's Eve, it was kind of all set.
What makes Charleston the place for you right now to resume your career?
You know, the city is fantastic with their team. They have a long, long history in terms of being, I think it's like the second, they're either tied or they're the second longest tenured club in America. That's still going today. The new coach coming in, a lot of energy around him. I think his style of play is going to, you know, suit myself. But as well as, I think it's just going to give it a little bit of a rebranding to the Charleston Battery.
I think Connor Casey's the coach, right?
Yeah, Connor Casey. So I think the whole prospect of playing for him and playing for this new, you know, rebranded Battery was just a little bit too good to pass up.
You had a chance to play against Charleston with Pittsburgh, right? So you were familiar with the franchise, the fan base, the whole vibe there.
Yeah, I played against them. I think two times my rookie year when I was with New York Red Bulls too. And then last year I played them, I think four times, but twice in Charleston.
Hey, what makes moving around so much? I've been lucky enough to be in one area for a long time, but you were born in Lubbock, a couple of stints in the Bay Area, Washington. Then you travel across the country to go to Florida Gulf Coast and a few stops, you know, as a pro already. Do you feel like maybe those early experiences in moving around helped you being able to, like, adapt to a new environment?
Oh, 100%. I think, you know, I always tell my parents as a kid, it kind of sucked having to move around all the time. Just, you know, with parents' jobs and stuff. But I think it helped me a lot as a kid to mature a lot faster. Being around adults, being around athletes, I kind of got to learn ins and outs of kind of business, I guess. So then as I got older, it just became a lot easier and a lot more natural to go in, be able to, like, be myself, make friends, and, you know, get whatever I had to do, get it done.
Hey, what made you pick Florida Gulf Coast? Because you were down in New Mexico and Sac State. So you had schools in all regions of the country. You know, what made that place the right one for you?
You know, it was actually a pretty crazy story. So I went on my official visit at New Mexico my first weekend of my senior year in high school. And they were hosting Akron at home. So I got to see them play. And I really had a good time. I really liked watching them play, the facilities, everything. And the next weekend, I actually went to Florida Gulf Coast. And they were hosting Akron at home. So I got to see both of those teams play Akron at home. And Akron is a pretty big, you know, college soccer program for men. So I think just, you know, the whole atmosphere of the playing style, I think a big, big aspect for me was if, you know, God forbid something had happened to me in college where I couldn't play anymore, I think being, you know, quote unquote stuck in Florida wouldn't have been the worst thing ever. So I think just in general, I think the whole school experience and how it was in terms of athletics, the academic staff there, just a tight-knit kind of community that I felt when I was there, just had a big impact for me.
Why integrated studies, and how's that going to help you down the line?
You know, I actually did criminal justice for, I think, 2 years, my junior year, senior year. And I was in New Jersey at the time. And I had to do an internship in order to graduate. And I just couldn't get an internship because everybody needed me to come from 8 to 3, you know, 10 to 5. And I couldn't do it. I was in the middle of the season. I couldn't do it. So I looked around and I was like, okay, I got to change my major. I don't know what I'm going to do now. Integrated studies popped up just with like a focus in criminal justice. And for me, it just basically was the same classes that I had been doing. But with a little bit of like, you know, like I said, it's integrated studies. So it's kind of got a little bit of everything in there. So I think it kind of gives me a bigger, broader, you know, broader choice of what I want to do after soccer, if I have to.
What do you think you might want to do after soccer?
Right now I'm looking into potentially being a coach, or potentially being like an individual kind of personal kind of trainer, but not in the aspect of lifting and going to the gym, but more teaching a center back how to be a center back, because I actually wasn't really a defender until I was like 15 or 16. And then I didn't turn center back until I was about 18. But just in general, being able to learn how to be a center back, I don't think there's many people that really truly teach people how to be a center back with mentality, footwork, you know, all that stuff. So I think for me, being a center back and having the other tools in my locker, I think it would be a good fit for me.
Preston, I had a chance to follow your career. In fact, your dad sent me a video, very first game. You had something that was pretty memorable. I'm sure you'll recall for the rest of your life.
This is Florida Gulf Coast against Princeton. The sport is soccer. Yeah. You make the top play, we'll find you. Don't adjust your television set. This is not in HD. Preston Kilwine. Long distance in the 89th minute. Florida Gulf Coast. Go crazy. You win.
That's your very first game, scoring a goal in the 89th minute?
Debut for college, yes.
What did it mean for you? I saw a picture of your parents there, for them to watch that moment.
You know, I think just a game winner in any sport is just, it's special in its own. But having my family there just across the country was just an unbelievable feeling. I honestly couldn't even describe it to you. I think just the picture that I have with my dad and, you know, my mom in the background, I think it just says it all. Just just how proud I was and how proud I think they were.
I see them as soccer parents. I've seen a lot of soccer parents over the years following club sport out here in the Bay Area, Danville Mustang, Pleasanton Rage, you know, teams like that. So I see the commitment that those families make. I mean, how many vacations did you spend going to tournaments in Fresno or Vegas or, you know, Denver? I mean, that pretty much took all of your time.
I couldn't even tell you about how many. I think, you know, just had great parents that were willing to make vacations out of those trips. But probably every vacation was more or less related to soccer in some way.
Do you think about it? Or are you too young to realize, you know, the sacrifices that they made, you know, for you to play this sport? Or is that something that might kick in later on? We'll have to beat you up when you're 30.
I think at the time I didn't really realize, you know, I think I was just having a good time doing, you know, what I like to do and stuff. But I think the older I got, and especially when I went to college and when I played academy, like just them willing to do certain things for me was just, I just can't be more appreciative of it.
Hey, what is it about you that enabled you to last that long? Because I've seen a lot of soccer kids, it's so all-encompassing with the camps and the training and doing all this or that a lot of them burn out. I mean, I know, mm-hmm. you know, some of your teammates probably didn't last past 15, 16, or when they're done with high school, they're done. So what mm-hmm. is it that kept you going all these years after high school and now as a professional?
Well, you know, I think when I was a lot young, I think when I lived in Seattle, I actually ended up stopping for about a year and a half, because I didn't love it anymore. I wasn't like sold on it. And then I realized that time off was like, yeah, this is what I want to do. So I think just the love for it, the love for training, the love for playing the games, traveling, like meeting people. I think, you know, I think it all just comes together, and I think it all just has to do with love for the game. I think that time off when I was younger actually really helped me out. Even now, it's probably about 10, 11 years ago when I did that. But I think still now I remember it and I'm like, yeah, I can't imagine not doing it right now.
Now, you played a bunch of other sports in high school. You were a good, you know, wide receiver too, Campo. What made you pick soccer as the one that you would go to over all those other sports?
I think just the amount of time I had played soccer. I think I hadn't really grown up playing football, didn't really watch football. I just ended up being pretty good at it, just been pretty athletic, pretty good at it. And I think, you know, I think potentially you never know, something could happen with it. But I think for me, soccer is just what I love to do. And it was just a no-brain decision for me to pick soccer.
At what point did you think you could take the game to the next level and maybe go on past high school?
Beyond high school, I think about probably my end of my freshman year, I was playing some club soccer with Diablo FC out in Concord and went to some tournaments, supposed to be some pretty highly rated players and whatnot. And, you know, I did my thing and I did really well. And then progressed, went to academy, saw some teammates that I had that were going to some prestigious schools, UCLA, Cal. And I was like, I can do this. Like, I don't see why I can't do this. And then once I got to college, I think I started training with the Tampa Bay Rowdies USL team. And I trained with the first team like 3, 4, 5 times. And I realized I could hang with these guys as a sophomore in college. So I think just, you know, it's just little moments that come together and you're like, oh, I can do this, I can do that. It's, you know, I'm not that far off. And just being able to work hard enough to get there.
So there wasn't some aha moment sometime where you took it off a starter that said, you know, I fit in here now.
I think it just was a buildup of just different little moments throughout my life, you know, and like I said, in the club soccer, being able to play academy, from academy, being able to go to college, being in college, being able to see the professional level at a personal, you know, personal level, but training with the team. I think that just was like, yeah, all right, I'm here.
Hey, we're all impacted in the last couple of years with COVID, how we live, where we go, what we can do, mask, no mask, vaccine, no vaccine. How has this whole pandemic impacted you as a player, training, being a part of the team?
I think, you know, obviously the first couple months, it was extremely hard for everybody. I remember my roommates and I were in a house in New Jersey. Couldn't go to a field. We couldn't go train together at a field. We couldn't meet up with the team. And that was probably a pretty dark time, I think, for everybody. But I think for us as a team, as athletes, I think it was a lot harder because we couldn't do the things that we loved. We couldn't work. We couldn't go to the field together, like I said. But just, you know, once we got back into it, it was still a lot different. We didn't have the integration with, you know, the first team that we did before. We weren't able to really train together for like a couple of weeks. So we were all doing individual sessions, just basically doing a bunch of running, which obviously is not very fun. But I think, you know, it all just comes more together and together. So when I was in Pittsburgh, it was kind of, you know, everyone had masks on. Everyone respected the fact that COVID is still there. You know, the pandemic is still going on, but it was more, couldn't fear it more than just you had to respect it.
What's the vibe around your teammates and those in your sport in terms of vaccination, that whole issue?
I think it's mixed. I think, you know, I think it's, a lot of people view it as important. Some people view it as you just got to be safe. I think in general, you just got to be smart. Like I said, you got to respect what's going on in the world. You got to respect what's going on in your surroundings. I think everybody knows that, regardless of, you know, what they think. It's just all about the respect for the situation and what you're doing. And you really have to think about how it'll affect you in your season, whether, you know, you got to stop playing, whether you got to take a week or two off because you have to be quarantined, stuff like that.
Now, you grew up with, and I know your parents pretty well. Your mom was a great athlete, basketball player at University of Houston. I saw your father one time run some stats across the Levy Center floor, full speed at about 40 feet. So I tried to do that with a straight face. So you got the athleticism from mom.
I think I got it from both. I think my dad also from mom.
I tried to really pimp that story with the running with the stats, but your mom was an outstanding athlete.
Yeah, she was. And my dad always tells me about it. But then, you know, mom always says, and mom and aunt actually, all my dad's sister always say that dad was a really good athlete, just in numerous sports. So I think he kind of gives the credit to my mom, but I think he's got a little something to do with it.
What is the appeal to golf for you? I've seen pictures of you playing with your dad, and obviously it's a, you know, completely different activity than soccer.
Yeah, I think, you know, I've spoken about this so many times with my girlfriend and my parents. I think one thing about it is that it's not a team sport. I think it's all, you know, on me. So it's probably one of the first times, maybe the first thing I've ever done that's really all like on me. So if I play bad, it's on me. If I play good, it's like on me as a team. You know, we're winning together, we're playing well together, playing bad together. The second part is just, it's a nice mental break from soccer. I think it's, you know, in any aspect of life, I think you can't really necessarily harp and think on one certain thing too many times, like too long. So I think being able to go out and just play golf for like an hour, 2 hours, go play 18 for, you know, an off day, I think that just is a good getaway from always thinking about soccer and what you could do better, what you could improve, and things like that.
Is there anything in that sport that you can take from, whether it be patience or overcoming a mistake or something like that, that you can translate to playing soccer?
I think you hit it on the head. I think all the above. I think, you know, results aren't going to come right away. I think you got to work at your results no matter what you're doing in life. But I think just like you said, I think it's just a lot of patience, a lot of correcting those mistakes. I think it's working at those mistakes that you know what you need to do right next time. I think it's just a repetition of getting that right.
How long did it take before you didn't suck anymore? Because we are bad when we start. Unless you were great right away.
Oh, I'm still not great. I can't even tell you I'm that good right now. I just enjoy going out.
I know, like a lot of players, you can be bad for 15, 16 holes and you hit that one great shot out of the fairway, put you on the green and you putt for a birdie. And that one shot kind of wipes away the other 2 hours of being bad.
Oh, yeah.
And inspires you to go back out there again.
Oh, yeah, big time. Big time. I went out with my dad before the new year, right after Christmas, and just had a horrible time. I was just like, Dad, I'm terrible at this. And I actually went out the other day by myself and I played unreal, but of course I'm by myself, so no one got to see it. But I think it just, you know, I don't, it's just a fun sport to go play.
Where are your favorite places to play?
So far, my favorite course has been Torrey Pines. I played that with my dad when I was back home. I haven't really played, you know, too many places. We had a place up in Pittsburgh next to my house, or next to our apartment complex, that pretty cheap, but it was a pretty nice course. So my teammates and I would go up there, you know, probably every off day. Going in Florida is a bit different, a lot more water than there would be in Pittsburgh. A lot more wildlife. So, you know, don't really want to go too close to the water at all.
Oh, I know what I wanted to ask you, because I want to keep myself fit. What's the key in terms of the muscles that a soccer player has to have to kick a ball far? Like, where does that come from when I, you know, feel like I'm pretty fit, then I go out and kick and the ball dribbles, you know, 20, 30 feet?
I think it's just, you know, I think it's just a lot of the form, and I think it's just repetition of doing it. I think it's just like anything else you do. I think it's just repetition of getting that form down. I wouldn't even say necessarily it's like strength too much. I think it's just really getting the form down and making sure that you can get under it, get into the middle of the ball. You know, I think a lot of it actually transcends into golf a bit in terms of hitting a sweet spot on your foot or in the sweet spot of a club. I think it's going to go the same. It just has to be in that sweet spot.
Hey, so what do you want to get better at? What are the things that are going to take your game to the next level, get you to MLS, get you to Europe, wherever you want to be?
I think a big one is mentality. I think it's bringing the same aggressive mentality every day. You know, I've heard a lot of stories and a lot of terms being thrown around. Not too sure if you had to bleep this out, but, you know, people say you got to be an asshole, especially as a center back. So I think I need to just, for me, I need to bring that mentality every day. I'm a pretty friendly, you know, happy-go-lucky guy. I like to joke around and stuff, but I think just being able to turn that on and bring it every single day, every single minute, I think it's going to be massive for me. As well as just, you know, always coming out on top in terms of like a tackle, like whatever happens, happens. I need to get the ball. I need to help my team. I think I'm pretty good at that, but, you know, there's always room for improvement.
Hey, if you're a good person, nice guy, how do you make that change to become an asshole? I've met some of those before, and that's how they are. They didn't make some conversion as a nice person to become an a-hole. That's who they are. So how do you do that?
I think it's just, you know, between the lines, you're a different person. I think once the whistle blows, you know, you got to just switch off how you are off the field. So, you know, could I have my best friend to the left of me, but I can't be his best friend for that 10 minutes of the drill. For the 45 minutes, he's got to be my teammate. I got to keep him accountable. He's got to keep me accountable. And I think that's probably one of the hardest things to learn is, you know, going in those white lines, going in the paint, is that's got to just switch. So I think, you know, the people always talk about like mama mentality, Jordan, they're all great because they could do it. They could get in, they could get in the, you know, right between the lines, different person.
You mentioned a couple people that were obviously legends in their sport. Who did you admire in your sport or others growing up? Whether, I mean, forget the whole a-hole thing, in terms of just their work ethic and how they pursued the sport.
Big fan of Thierry Henry. I'm a big Arsenal fan, so I think he is just a legend in every aspect. The goal scoring, his mentality, his work rate. And then as I got older and became a center back, I love Sergio Ramos. You know, everyone, you know, isn't the greatest fan of him because of how he plays, whether he's dirty, whatever the case may be. He gets a lot of yellow cards, red cards. But if you just look at him and the way he works, the way that he talks to his team, the way that he leads, I think he's just a great example of a center back for me.
What about as a leader? You mentioned one there, but guys that were just maybe not the best player, but they obviously were able to rally their guys around them and take their game to the next level.
Yeah, you know, I think Sergio Ramos is obviously one. Carlos Puyol played for Barcelona. He's obviously a great defender. Just hearing and reading things of what he used to be like, what he still is like, you know, now that he's retired, but mostly about what he was as a center back. It was just he needed to be that leader. He needed to gather his guys around him, whether it made him look terrible, made him look great. He had to be that guy to really rally everybody else behind him and behind the team, behind the coach, behind the club.
The home opener is coming up on March 12th against Tulsa, I believe. What are the prospects of the Battery making a deep run this season?
You know, from on paper, it looks pretty good right now from the guys that they're bringing back, some of the guys are bringing in. I think we have a pretty good chance. You know, Charleston historically has been a pretty good club, a lot of playoff runs. I think a title maybe, a couple titles maybe. Not too sure right now. But I think, you know, there's always that chance whenever you go to a new team, whenever you go to a team, there's always that chance you can make a run. But I think with the tools that I see right now, the tools that we have, I think, you know, we could actually really do it.
I wanted to ask you because we were coordinating our talk around your weekend and, you know, we'll see what my girlfriend says about this or that. What are we doing? So who is she and how difficult is it with such a transient profession, right? Moving from one city to another, the market to, you know, to keep a relationship going.
You know, she's fantastic. Her name's Camila. She's actually in law school right now. So I'm very happy and proud of her for doing what she has to do in terms of going to school and doing what she has to, you know, has to do in order to have the profession that she wants when she's older. But, you know, it is hard. It's I'm not going to sit here and say it's easy. You got to truly make time for each other, whether it's during the day, nighttime, mornings, just, you know, phone calls to catch up with each other, FaceTimes. And, you know, I got really lucky that she likes to play video games as well. So her and I will hop on the Xbox and play video games together and be able to talk for, you know, an hour, 2 hours, as well as go on FaceTime after. We do, you know, we'll do like little date nights in terms of like FaceTime, make some dinner together and sit, watch a movie, watch TV shows.
On FaceTime.
All on FaceTime, yeah. So we'll like line up the TVs perfectly together and we'll watch like the same TV show, whether it's Netflix, Disney, whatever.
Serious big time challenge.
Yeah, I think when we started talking, we kind of spoke about it. I was like, listen, I want to be a professional. Like this is kind of what it's going to have to be like. And she just was completely bought in and she's been great. She made me just a better person, better player, more focused.
How important is it for you, Preston, to have someone in your corner? I mean, you mentioned golf, it's on your own, it's on me. If I'm bad, I'm on me. But, you know, you're trying to rise in this career and to have someone in your corner, that certainly has to be a major asset.
Definitely, yeah. And she's not one that's going to shy away and sugarcoat anything. She's going to tell me, you know, if I play bad, it's like, Preston, you need to step it up, which, you know, in the moment, kind of sucks. But, you know, you truly, honestly appreciate her and everything she does for me.
So she comes up after a game and said, hey, Preston, that was weak.
Oh, we'll call. Yeah, I'll call her and she'll just be like, she'll be like, yeah, you didn't have the greatest game today. Or you gotta improve this, certain things. And, you know, just little things like that. She won't necessarily say I sucked on the day, but she'll just say you didn't have your greatest day.
Is she pretty much right on in her analysis?
Generally, yeah.
Hey, man, that was better than that.
Generally. I mean, sometimes we'll disagree in certain things, but I think generally she's learned a ton about the game. and just by watching and, you know, watching me, watching games with me when I'm with her, I think she's got a pretty good grasp on it right now.
I was told to ask about your tattoos.
Oh yeah.
How many of them, where are they, and what do they mean?
I think, well, I have one right on my, like right above my ankle. It looks, it's like a mom and a son. So I got that with my mom. My mom has it on her. I have Pura Vida right here, which is like, my mom's from Costa Rica. So it means pure life. It's like a big Costa Rican saying. I have a rosary because my grandmother used to always get me rosaries and I just always lost them, or broke them. And I used to wear one all the time. And I ended up just getting it tattooed on me instead of wearing it all the time. I have my mom's birthday and then I have my dad's birthday on each respective forearm. And then I have a quote, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me on my side.
You know, someone that's a parent that's kind of anti-tattoo, like I don't want my kids getting tattoos. What you described is beautiful. You know, tributes to your parents, your family, to Jesus. I mean, how can anyone get bent out of shape about what you're doing? You're doing the right things.
Thank you.
Did they give you any pushback on the tats at all?
Only the first one. The first one on my side, I sent them a picture and they thought it was on my entire back. And so they weren't too happy about that. And I was like, why would I get a tattoo on my entire back? Just like a little quote. It's actually pretty funny. But honestly, no, there's not really been any pushback at all. I think they're of the kind of like the mindset. It's kind of like, it's your body. Just make sure you really want it for the rest of your life. Make sure you really like it.
When were you, old were you when you got your first one? And which one was that?
18 on my side. I got it in college.
Okay. So you were out of the house then.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Did you want to do one while you were in high school and they were around?
I did, just never thought about it. Just kind of fit, you know. Didn't really think about getting it while I was in high school or, you know, while I was living at home or anything.
Young man, you're going places. What is your timetable in terms of shelf life as a player? Hey, I want to be here by the time I'm 30, or I just want to play until they tell me I can't play anymore.
You know, I do aspire to be in the MLS. Europe would always be a great, great move in any footballer, because I think as a soccer player, that's a dream to go play in Europe, I think, as an American. But really the standard in here is the MLS. So I think I would, you know, obviously as soon as I get the chance, I want to prove myself, whether it's a trial, whether it's a contract, anything. But I think I want to keep playing for, you know, as long as I can. So hopefully that's about 33, 34 years old.
What do you like to do other than golf in your spare time to get away from it all?
I like cooking. I like to be like in the kitchen, you know, I love eating. So I think that's just a
typical guy,
just what
right?
comes with it. Yeah, exactly. Big video game player. Not as much as I used to be, but just, you know, I still love playing video games. I think just hanging out with friends and teammates is just, like I said, it's a nice escape mentally. You can kind of just joke around, watch TV, watch movies.
You've got teammates over the years from all over the world. Do you think that's helped you in terms of maybe relating to other folks, other different cultures, different mindsets, different attitudes, where you almost are traveling the world even within your own team?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, since I've turned pro, I've had two roommates from Venezuela, one from Brazil, one from Senegal. I've had two from England. You know, I've even had one from Florida, one from Connecticut. And we're all just grew up so differently. And even though I grew up in, you know, maybe like six or seven different places, we all are just so different. I think it helps me appreciate them, where they came from. I think they also appreciate, you know, our, like my side, where I came from. You know, we all kind of just are able to really mesh and get along together.
Love it all, man. How can folks follow Preston Kilwan on social media? What you're Instagramming, what you're tweeting?
Instagram and Twitter are the same, just Preston_Kilwine. They're both the same username. I'm not a big Instagram poster. I like to post stories and stuff. But I'm pretty big on Twitter.
And also I saw a great Wikipedia page too, as well, that also kind of outlines your career, outlines your life. So a lot of ways to follow Preston Kilwine. I'll be following throughout the year And thanks for the time, young man. I enjoyed the visit.
No, thank you very much. I had a great time.
Got to get me some Charleston Battery swag ASAP. That is star defender, Preston Kilwine. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. Your positive comments, the five-star reviews, huge. They certainly help out a lot. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.